I want to take you back now to February of 1990 when I sat down with Lee Anderson and we talked about his career and some of his views. He tells us how he got started in the newspaper business.
How did you get interested in newspaper business and reporting?
That's something that started when I was in Glenwood Elementary School. I grew up out in Glenwood, and we had a wonderful school out there. It was the prettiest school in Chattanooga, but it's gone now. They tore it down. It's where the parking lot for Memorial Hospital is. Mm-hmm. And I was within walking distance of that school. We had six grades with six teachers and a principal. And it was a great school with great teachers and great students there at the time I was there in the 30s. And we didn't have a school paper. And so when I was in the sixth grade, I prevailed upon the teacher, I don't know why, to start a school paper. I guess I do know why, too. At home, someone had given me a printing set for Christmas a year or two before. It's the kind that you had the capital letters and you had an ink pad and you would print out things. So we started printing a little paper. And then we didn't have a typewriter at our house at that time, but a boy next door did. And so we got some carbon paper and we made a neighborhood newspaper with my printing set and his typewriter and some carbon paper. So I thought it'd be nice to have a school paper. And the colors of Glenwood Elementary School were blue and gold. So we started a paper called B&G. And Miss Posey, now Miss Akers, was my sixth grade teacher, and she let us do it. We did it on an old Ditto machine. A Ditto machine was before the mimeograph. It was the kind that had that faint purple cast on paper that you could partly read. Sometimes you could, and sometimes you couldn't. As a matter of fact, a few years ago, she called me, and she sent me copies of that paper that we had started, that she had saved all these years. I was glad to get them. But that was my first newspaper experience in the neighborhood and then at Glenwood Elementary School. I went on from there to Brainerd Junior High and worked on the What's What at Brainerd, we called it, a little paper there. And then at Chattanooga High School, I worked on the Maroon and White. And so I was interested in newspaper all along. And at the age of 16, I walked in the News Free Press one time. And there have been only three editors of the News Free Press. And the first one was Mr. W.G. Foster, who was a very, very great man. And I walked into him as a 16-year-old student, not expecting to get a job, but so he'd know who I was when I came back and came back and came back and came back to get a job as a reporter. And he surprised me by hiring me at the age of 16. Now, he didn't do that because he thought I was smart, but at the age of 16, he knew it'd be a little while before I went in service, and this was in 1942 when everybody was going into the military. So I arranged my schedule at school to work. I'd get excused from study hall as long as I kept my grades up, and I would go over in the afternoon and on Saturdays and summer vacations and work as a reporter. And I joined the Air Force as a cadet when I was 17, and so I was able to work until I went in the Air Force for a couple of years, and then when I came back...
Let's go back just a minute to your... What was your first big story that you covered?
The funny thing about it was about a flood.
A flood?
Yeah. We used to have flooding nearly every year at Christmas time, and so we would send reporters out all over town to write about the flood, because there were so many different parts of town. This was when it wasn't just Chickamauga Creek overflowing, but there'd be downtown sections that would be flooded in the riverbanks down through
downtown.
You
didn't have Chickamauga Dam at that time?
Yeah.
Chickamauga Dam had been?
I'm pretty old, but we had Chickamauga Dam at that time. Chickamauga Dam was dedicated in 1940, built about 39 and 40, and this was 42. And so as a cub reporter, I was sent out with everybody else, and I remember the lead on that story. A man underneath the Market Street Bridge was seen today tying his house to a tree. And it was about a fella who had a little house down there under the Market Street Bridge. And the water was sweeping across the riverbanks there. And he literally was tying a rope around his house and hitching it to a tree so the water wouldn't take it away.
Hmm.
So that was one of my first big stories. I remember one other story. The first time I had a byline on page one. And it was about a man on Signal Mountain who had killed a wildcat in his backyard, and he had it stuffed. And so I was sent up to do a feature story on the man with his wildcat. And I remember we had a picture of him and the stuffed wildcat. And because it was so unusual, it started out on page one as a feature story. But we put out three editions a day, and by the time the second edition came out, some more news of importance had come in, and my story got bumped off of page one, so I lost my first byline on page one right quickly.
You started as a cub reporter, and then tell us about your military.
I went in the Air Force as a cadet, and I was served not quite 2 years, and fortunately for me, the training program was, I didn't think it was fortunate at the time, the training program was slowed down because the casualties in Europe had been reduced a good bit. When the 8th Air Force got P-51 fighters that could follow the bombers all the way into Berlin and back, They cut the losses tremendously. They were losing 10% in the B-17s there for a while, and the Nazis would wait until the fighter escorts ran out, and then they would pounce on the bombers coming back from the bomber mission. But with the P-51s, they could go all the way in, drop the wing tanks, and fight, and so the losses dropped. So they slowed down the cadet program, I being so young that I was just the tail end of the war. And so then it appeared that my class might be the replacements for the Air Force casualties in the Asiatic War, and then along came the A-bomb, and that stopped that. And so we got out pretty quickly, and we were very fortunate that we never got shot at, although we were very disappointed young fellows at that time because we wanted to go ahead and fly.
And you came back home and picked up where you left off before
came
your
back
military?
Home, came back home and went back to the News Free Press, and I would go to work every morning, what seems like luxurious hours now. I'd go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning and work until 1, and then I went to the University of Chattanooga from 1 until about 10:30 at night, making up for lost time in the war and going to college and working too. And when I graduated from college, I felt as though I wanted vacation just going to work at the paper. But it was a wonderful opportunity to be able to do both at the same time.
And how did you get to be associate editor?
The first editor who hired me was Mr. W.G. Foster, and he was a great man and an editor for 10 years. And all of a sudden, in 1946, he died of a heart attack. And Brainerd Cooper, who was a very great student of history and of politics and was covering politics at that time, was assigned to succeed him. And after a while, Brainerd Cooper discovered that he couldn't leave town unless he had somebody to back him up. And I was always very interested in history. I was a history major at the University of Chattanooga, and I was covering politics. And even while I was in college, I was covering the state legislature and the national political nominating conventions and things like that. So Brainerd knew that my background and my interest and my study was such that they would lend themselves to editorial comment. So he said, you want to come in an hour early every morning, and we'll work on teaching you how to write editorials. And so Brainerd was a very great friend of mine and did me great favors by inviting me to become his associate. And so he taught me about how to handle editorials, which is quite different from handling news stories. News stories are straight and unbiased and do not have the writer's opinion in them at all. And an editorial states the facts and the situation and the principles and the history and the background, but also then draws conclusions. And so it's quite a different style of writing. So Brainerd Cooper did me a great favor by teaching me, and he helped with my journalistic education, and I became his associate. And then he was able to go out of town some. So Brainerd remained editor for a good while until he had a heart attack, and then he retired from the position, and then I became the third editor of the News Free Press in 1958, and I have more longevity than anybody else who's ever been editor in Chattanooga, I guess. I've been there a long time, and they can't get rid of me. I like it, and I plan to stay forever.
How did you meet your wife?
I met my wife on a blind date. I had a new convertible, of which I was very proud. I'd saved my money from working as a 16-year-old boy and as a cadet. And after the war, when cars became available, I ordered a new Chevrolet convertible. And, oh, it was the shiniest car, and I almost wore the paint off waxing it. That was in the days of the hard simonized waxing. And I simonized, and it was a black car, and it shone like the Black Beauty. And I was a Sigma Chi at the University of Chattanooga. In fact, I was instrumental in bringing Sigma Chi, the national fraternity, to the university. We had a local, and we wanted to go national. And so I was a Sigma Chi then, and one of my good fraternity brothers called me one night, and he said, my car's broken down. One day he called, and he said, I've got a date tonight. May I double date with you to get a ride? And I said, well, I wasn't planning to go out tonight. And he said, well, my date has a sister who's been away at school, but she's home for the summer. If I arranged a date with her, would you give me a ride? And I said, sure thing. And I didn't ask him who he had a date with. I knew, happened to know his date, but I didn't even ask him who it was. And the blind date that was arranged for me happened to be Betsy McDonald, and so Betsy and I dated for about 3 years along. People didn't go steady immediately then the way they do now, and we dated along for about 3 years before we married, but that's how I met Betsy. I've always been thankful that my friend's car broke down.
Now, you didn't meet Betsy through the newspaper since Mr. Roy was the publisher?
No, I'd been working there at the paper for 5 years before I met Betsy. And I knew Betsy's two older sisters. They were closer to my age. And I knew them at dances and parties. And mm-hmm. we'd been friends for some years. But mm-hmm. Betsy is a couple of years, 2.5 years younger than I am. And I didn't even know she existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was only the blind date that brought her into my awareness.